Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, and today we're starting a new series. The series is titled, Entering into the Fullness of Your Calling. It's based on the life of Joshua. Specifically today, we're going to talk about finding the courage to be great. I know it's a little bit of an unusual title, but I'd like to remind us of what Jesus told his leaders in John 15, just hours before he is arrested and taken into trial, and these 11 leaders that he is leaving the church in their hands, in their leadership, he is preparing them for the worst day of their life, and he is preparing them for the significance of their leadership. So in John 15, right before Jesus is arrested, he said this to his leaders, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Let me make a strong statement at the beginning of this series. You and I will never enter into the fullness of our calling without first finding the courage to be great. Hear it again from Jesus. "My Father is glorified by this," John 15, verse 8, "that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." I'm familiar with a sociological study where they asked the elderly, age 96 and up, if you had the opportunity to live your life over again, what would you do differently? You know, one of the dominant responses, "I wish I had taken more risk." Penny Lee was giving a presentation, and following the presentation, there was an older gentleman weeping and came to her and he told her this story. He said, "I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I considered myself a Christian. I attended church since I was a small boy. We had heard the stories of what was happening to the Jews. But like most people today in this country, we tried to distance ourselves from the reality of what was really taking place. What could anyone do to stop it anyway?" He said, "There was a railroad track behind our small church, and each Sunday morning we would hear the whistle blow from a distance and then the clacking of the wheels moving over the track. We became disturbed when one Sunday we noticed cries from the train as it passed by. We grimly realized that the train was carrying Jews. They were like cattle in those cars. Week after week, that train whistle would blow. We would dread to hear it. We would dread to listen to those cries of those people screaming out for help. It was so terribly disturbing. We couldn't do anything to help those poor folks, and yet their screams tormented us. We knew exactly the time that that whistle would blow, and you know what we did? We decided to move our service structure around so that we were singing hymns during the time that the train came by with those people screaming for help." That elderly gentleman just stood there as he told that story and wept. He said, "God forgive us. God forgive us because we didn't do anything." Can I tell you something about your leadership that you already know? You're called to significance. Also in the same passage I referenced earlier in John 15, verse 16 now, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I chose you to go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain." God has called you to bring glory to Him by really being significant. You can say it in many ways, but the way I've chosen to say it in this opening series about entering into the fullness of your calling, God has chosen you to be great. We will center this new series in the life of Joshua from the book of Joshua. Now, as you begin Joshua chapter 1, you realize that Joshua is facing three hugely intimidating factors. Number one, he was old. Did you know that he was about 70 years old, possibly older, at the beginning of the book of Joshua. This is the time that he's getting started in fulfilling the fullness of his own calling. Secondarily, his own mentor had failed. Moses had a calling to bring the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. But God told him near the end of his life, it's not going to happen through you. You have failed me. And thirdly, Joshua is called to do what nobody else had ever done, including his mentor. A big task was before him. If there's anybody that could cry out, "Oh Lord, help me," it'd be Joshua. He could easily excuse himself. "I'm too old. Moses was greater than me and he couldn't do it. And the job is just too overwhelming." But he did not succumb to the pressures of those factors. Now, let me say something very practically at the front end of this podcast today. You really are called to be significant. You're called to be fruitful. Say it this way. You're really called to be great for the kingdom. I'm not talking about great necessarily in the eyes of the world. I'm talking about being significant in the kingdom for God in this world. Now, sometimes, and you know this well, sometimes you have to rise above a cloud of intimidation and rejection in order to embrace the calling God has for you and to enter into the fullness of that calling. It brings tears to my eyes every time that I recount the story. When Chuck Swindoll was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, he would personally interview most of the graduates. He said, "It's amazing what you hear about their lives once the doors are closed and they share so openly and transparently. Many times you'd hear about mistreatment. Every year there'd be at least one of the master's degree students without one person from their family present to applaud their achievement." One young man shared his story with him. He said, "My dad hasn't spoken to me for 4 years. Ever since, that young man chose not to pursue a law degree as his father had hoped. As that young man came across the platform and held out his hands, his eyes met Dr. Swindoll's. And as Chuck gave him the diploma, they just held each other in each other's arms and wept. They knew the intimidation. They knew the rejection. And they knew that that young man was choosing to rise above intimidation and rejection and enter into the fullness of his call. Joshua is facing a huge, huge task. He has to enter into the fullness of his call. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this. Listen to it. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." If there was ever a moment for a leader to cry out, "Help, Lord, I'm in charge," this is it. He's 70s, in his 70s, perhaps even 80s. Moses, his own mentor, has failed, and he is called to do an overwhelming task. He's got to rise above. So how did he do it? Where did he find the courage to accept his calling? Where did he find the courage to accept that this is a new day? Did you catch verse 1? "Moses, my servant, is dead. The past is over. You are now in a place of entering into the fullness of your own destiny." Let me give you 3 points that show us where Joshua found courage. These are the things he embraced. Number 1, he knew that this is a new day for him. So he had to accept the vision that God had given him. Joshua 1, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." This is God's command to Joshua. "Be strong and courageous, For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua, be strong because you have a mandate for me. This is a new day, Joshua. Accept my vision for you. Tim Hansel, in his book, Holy Sweat, said this, do you know why most of us miss the adventure? It's because we've never learned to plug our theology into our biography. It's so true. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. Embracing your mandate to be great for God requires faith in God. It is His calling, His vision. It's a new day for you, so accept the vision that God has given you. Let me give you the second reason for courage that Joshua embraced. He knew that it was a new day for him, so he embraced full obedience. That's where he found his courage. Joshua 1 verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Do you catch the second command? Be strong and very courageous. There it is again. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may achieve success wherever you go. The first lesson about courage is this. Your God-given vision rests upon your faith in God. But the second, never neglect your personal obedience as a pathway to empowerment. Find courage in this. Lord, I'm going to walk out everything that you have spoken in my heart. I was so touched when I read the story of a minister who had failed. And one of his friends met with him for breakfast and asked him the question, what would you do differently if you had the opportunity to go back? This is what he said. Listen closely. He said, I would examine my life and change whatever needed changing to increase the odds of sustainability. Then I would let the chips fall where they may. I probably would have displeased some people and taken some heat, but at least I'd still be in the ministry today. Do you know what he's saying? I lost the courage to lead because I was intimidated by what people thought and intimidated to the point that I failed to walk out personal obedience. Don't let it be said of you. This is a new day. Put your faith in God for the vision that He's given you. And secondarily, walk out a focused personal obedience. Let me give you the third reason for courage. It's this. This is a new day, so learn to depend fully on His presence. Do you catch the flow? Three commands to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Why? Number one, God's given you a vision. Number two, because you're walking in obedience. Number three, because you're depending on His presence. Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's the third time now that God commanded him to be strong and courageous. Why? Listen to the text, latter part of verse 9. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let me wrap up our time together today with one of my favorite quotes from Hudson Taylor. He's a remarkable missionary to China in the mid-19th century. He said this, it does not matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or whether it presses you nearer His heart. Can I talk to you practically now about the courage to be significant, to rise above intimidating voices, to rise above peer pressure, to rise above comparison of your ministry to somebody else's ministry, to rise above the expectations that people project upon you in their attitude or even their words directly, tell you what success ought to be for you. Where do you find the inward personal conviction? It's this. You find courage to lead and be significant, and yes, to be great for the Lord, in following God's given vision to you. Listen to that mandate. That isn't somebody else's mandate. That's yours. Listen with your heart. Embrace that. Secondarily, find your courage in knowing that you are walking in full obedience. Don't compromise that. Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will obey me, and my Father and I will come and make our home abide in him." One of the biggest reasons that there is a lack of empowerment in some men and women's lives is because they have not embraced the very practical obedience that God has spoken. Don't be intimidated to put your lifestyle into any other mode than in the focus of, "Lord, I'm going to prioritize what you have told me to prioritize." When I did that years ago, I had to change my prayer life. I had to change the way I spent time. I literally changed how much the focus of developing messages, the focus of where I spent my time with people. There was a personal obedience where I had to bring into alignment the core values that the Holy Spirit was instilling within me. There are many people that burn out because they simply do not align their life with the present emphases of the Spirit. I could say it this way: you will burn out if you don't align with very practical obedience. Where do you find courage? By accepting God's vision for you, by walking in full obedience and depending upon His presence. He's the one that is with you. This is a new day for you. The past is the past. There could be somebody that has passed away, but now there is a mandate that you have a calling to fulfill. I want to tell you, you can do it. Not because you depend upon yourself, but upon the Lord. I know that that sounds just like a simple platitude, but listen now. Find your courage in accepting the mandate that the God has given you. Find courage to be great by walking in full obedience, and find courage in knowing that He is with you. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you. Head over to paultotimothy.com. Take a look at some of the resources that we have provided for you there. That's it, paultotimothy.com.